what it says it is to us right now, right here, this inspired, God-breathed word that would come and just fill our hearts, Lord, that would restore the things that are broken, that would restore the soul, that would rejoice the heart, that would make us wise. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you'd come and do this work this morning as we open it. Speak to us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to get there, I promise, but I want to just get you there right now. You know, over the last month or so, we've been visiting about just living life the way God wants us to live it. To live this life that God designed us to live this life. And a month ago, we talked about difficulty. We talked about trial. We talked about tribulation. I made the statement, difficulty is no stranger to the believer. I mean, it's not. It's no stranger to the believer. But we also discovered that neither is peace and neither is power a stranger to us if we're in Christ. That we have the power and peace available to us. And we saw John 16:33 that says, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." In the world, you have tribulation. But listen, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I'm writing these things to you and I'm saying these things to you in advance. Because hard times come. But I've already overcome them. I already have the victory. I've already conquered for you. I've done this for you. And my word, the things that I say, the things that I speak, he says, are going to bring you peace. Let me ask you, do you believe God's word brings you peace? Brings us peace. That's why we are a people of the word. It's the standard. And we run to it because God speaks to us. And when God speaks, you can't help but have peace. It's just who he is as the Prince of Peace. Difficulty comes, trial comes, tribulation comes. And we have this overcoming spirit that lives within us. If you are in Christ Jesus, we see him as the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now, when you look at this word tribulation, you get the words like pressure, trouble, uncertainty, affliction, a burden, maybe a persecution. It all have nuances to tribulation and weaknesses. But get this, when you think about what Jesus is saying is listen, in me, you may have peace. I want this peace for you in the midst of the difficulty. And if you're in Christ and you're trained by it and you're trained by the difficulties that you go through life and you keep your eyes on him and you move through it, not maybe in a perfect way, but a way that just you continue and continue to press in to him, you're going to find this peace. And matter of fact, you're going to come out the other side of it. You may have another one coming because that's just the thing about tribulation. Either you're going through one or you've just come out of one, or guess what? You might have one coming up. Is that right? If you look at your life, in the world, you have tribulation. Jesus does promise you to take away your troubles. I'm always thrilled by Wayne Frank. Is he counting money? Is that what he's doing right now? I'm always thrilled about Wayne Frank's testimony. Wayne, 92 in September. And he said when he came to Christ, he was an adult. And he was presented by his church. And he said all these people were coming up and congratulating him. He said, one guy told me, he said, "Now your troubles are all over." And he said it took about 24 hours to realize that that guy was wrong. All your troubles are over. If you're coming to Jesus to become trouble-free, you're coming to the wrong Jesus. You just are. And there's victory today. And let me tell you, there's only conquering and victory when there's a war. Is that right? You can't have victory. You can't conquer unless there's something to conquer. And he comes into your life to clean us up and to conquer us, or to conquer the sin, so that we might lay into him, submit to him, and get this overwhelming peace that he comes to give to us. Listen, difficulty's no stranger, but neither is peace nor power. Yeah, I've been thinking about something, though, here lately. As I prepared a message, that's why some of this stuff's not going to be in your notes this morning. But I was thinking about another problem or another thing that comes our way that we struggle with. Sometimes we wake up
feeling like we're not living the purpose that God has for us. Have you ever felt that way? What is my purpose in this life? And some of us struggle with it all our lives. What is this purpose? Why am I here? Why am I living? What is it that God wants to do in me and through me? What is my purpose? And then what is my assignment for that purpose? Because we all know that the purpose that we have in Christ, we all share the same. Amen? We do. It is Christ-likeness. It's reflecting Him. It's becoming conformed into His image. It is walking in victory. These are the purposes of God for us. But there are assignments in our lives that sometimes are different than they were 5 years ago that God brings us into. And so what we talk about is this finding the purpose. Finding the purpose. Do you have a purpose? If you're in Christ, you have a purpose in life. And that is to glorify Him. I came across a verse familiar, but I haven't heard it or I haven't spoken it in a while. It's Isaiah 43:21. I think I gave you this latest thing, right? Yeah, Isaiah 43:21. The people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. Will declare my praise. Go on and just turn there for just a moment. I know you turned to Matthew, but I had no... Well, we're just going to go a different direction here for a minute. Maybe the rest of the time. Isaiah 43. Powerful passage of scripture. Notice what he says, verse 1. Now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you. Do not fear, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. Listen, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. Right? Trouble. Passing through waters is trouble, but what's the promise? I'm going to be with you in that water. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. And through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Listen, I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior. I've given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. And since you're precious in my sight, since you're honored and I love you, I'll give other men in place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear. I'm with you. I'll bring your offspring from the east, gather you from the west. I'll say to the north, give them up. To the south, don't hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, and everyone who's called by my name and whom I've created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. What is God's purpose? He says, listen, you are mine. I've created you. You will, and those who are mine will praise me, will magnify me, will worship me. Everyone who's called by my name, watch, and whom I've created for my glory, whom I've formed, even whom I've made. I created you for me, God says. You belong to me, God says. I am yours, you are mine, God says. I have created you for my glory. When you get this right, however mysterious this is, when you embrace this, when you believe it, when you speak it, when you know it, when you know that you've been created for God Himself, it'll all change for you, I promise. Because you're no longer living for you. You're living for Him. Because your life is not your own. It belongs to Him. Listen, when I realize this, I realize this is my purpose. That I might glorify Him. That I might give witness to Him. That I might live my life as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a grandfather, as a pastor, as a brother, as a friend. When I realize that I'm to glorify God in all those areas of my life, it not only gives me pause, but I'm going to tell you, it gives me energy. Because I know my purpose. Things may not be going the way I think they should be going. And I might not be in the role I think I should be in. Or I may not be in the assignment that I think I should be in. Or the assignment that I am or the job that I have has just kind of, I mean, it's just not doing it for me. It's when I remember and I realize I wasn't created for the job. I was created for God Himself. Purpose of God to live in him, to live for him, to not only find him, but to be an ambassador, a reconciler, a representation of him. And I just think sometimes when I look at this lack of purpose, it can be no stranger to the believer. Because I want to ask you the question, this is the question, a simple question. If I were to come in here and to ask you before what I just said, what is your purpose in life? What would you have said? How long will you stutter to say, I know the purpose of God in my life? It's the purpose of God that he's come in to restore me, to conform me into his image, to give him glory and honor all the days of my life. All the days of my life. So I worship him and I present my life as a living sacrifice, my reasonable service of worship. And I realize that what I just did here for a few minutes on a Sunday is not the sum total of my worship. My worship is my life. Because I give glory to him. Because every one of us knows we can say all the right things here. Sing and be excited about it. Me included. And then go right out here and get in our car and go down here and cuss somebody because they just got in front of us. They just put us in danger. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I can say all the right things, do all the right things, feel all the right things, believe all the right things, but walk out of here and respond poorly to the circumstances of this life. Worshippers of God, not self. God gives such great purpose, and I'm afraid sometimes that the things that God has called you to individually and called us to that we somehow just miss. We just miss it. And we're not doing the things that God designed us for, that he created us for, that he gifted us for. If you're in Christ, you have a gift. You have talent. You've been wired by God a certain way. And nobody can take that away from you. God's given you creative ability in your heart to speak, to do, to create, to bless. And sometimes I think we as believers we put our hands on our chair and we sit on them. And we never, ever fulfill what we were really designed to be. And then we go, we retire. We retire, and then what do? We take our ease. When it ought to be some of the most exciting, powerful years of our lives. I don't mean to use Wayne Frank again, but I'm going to use Wayne Frank again. I already used you once. He retired. When did you retire? How many years ago? About 2040. Okay. It's longer to her. Okay, all right. 40-something years. He retires. He wakes up first day of retirement, pours his coffee, kisses Charlene to go to her work, sits down, watches the 700 Club with Ben Kinslow, and he starts talking about nursing homes and how there are people in nursing homes who never get a visit. Their family never gets by. And he turned that off, and you know what he did first day of retirement? He went to the closest nursing home and went in there and said, who are the people that never get a visit? Can I start visiting him? And let me tell you, and for 40 years, that's what he's been doing. Living out the purpose of God in his life that wasn't defined by a job and a watch he gets when he retires. He's living the purpose of God by reflecting the compassion of Jesus to go visit widows, to go visit those who are in their last years of life where nobody's coming to visit. And he's pouring out compassion and he's pouring out words. And guess what? He's just pouring out being present, just showing up. You know what? It's that easy, folks. Just show up. Just show up. Well, I don't know what to do. Show up. Just be there. Be available. You know, you never ever stop living your purpose. You never ever stop it. And you may be on your sickbed, but you're continuing to give glory to God the best you can by the power of the Spirit of God. Because he has been so good to us. You want to know how to get through difficulty? You want to know how to get through the difficult times in life? Just understand what your purpose is. And this is it, folks. This is it. And you know, I look at scriptures like 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession. You're his own possession. You are his and he is yours. So why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who did what? Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's your testimony. It's what God's done for every one of us. And it just amazes me that he would say, hey, you in this auditorium today, you, if you're in Christ, are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's people. He possesses you so that you may leave this place or be in this place to proclaim the great excellencies of him who called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light. Let me ask you the question. Are you proclaiming that when you get the opportunity? And guess when the opportunity is? Whenever and wherever you are in this life. I think about just this whole thought of this worship and asking the question, what is it that's been coming out of my mouth? I can look back over my week or my day or my last few hours and ask the question, what's been coming out of my mouth? Let me ask you that question. What's been coming out of your mouth? Well, we got to praise God today. That came out of my mouth. But what about before? What about this week? And the question I want to ask, that what's coming out of my mouth, does it give glory to God or does it give glory to something else in this life that's not worthy of the glory? And it may be a negative spirit. It may be filthy language. It may be just an outburst of anger. It may just be simple as a critical spirit that says, that guy bugs me. They bug me. We were created for him to give praise. And I don't mean just going around saying praise the Lord all the time. Please. Because that can just get downright obnoxious. Amen. Amen. Right? No, I'm talking about what's coming out of your life, out of a lifestyle that just points to God. And I want to suggest to you, that's what praise is. It's the things that come out of my life that point to him. Those who I've formed for myself will declare my praise. We will declare the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Some of you are wandering in your purpose today. Some of you are holding in the treasure. Some of you are holding in the giftedness. Whatever you've got, you've hoarded it and you've not given it away. And for whatever reason, you decided that I can't make that step to do the things that God's called me to do or the things that God's asked me to do. Maybe you feel shamed. Maybe you feel you're too guilty. Maybe you feel you're too unworthy. Maybe there's just this stuff in the past that's been so disappointing to you that if you think you take another step, that somebody else is just going to disappoint me again. What kind of faith is that? What kind of faith is that? Our God is living in our lives, folks. And what's in us is made to give away. And I'm asking you, are you giving it away? Are you letting it out? Or are you just hoarding it? Available to people who are hurting and struggling. Just to be there. Just to be available. Just to show up. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, this is what he says about us. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. You, nobody else. You, believer, You, ma'am, you, sir, in Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. What is salt for? Those days, you salt meat to slow the rot. Influences the meat. Salt gives flavor to that which by itself is bland. You're the salt of the earth. The biggest thing that you can think about salt is it has influence. It has influence. And I want to tell you, some of you got salt, but it's still in the shaker. And you dare not shake it out. Because of worry, because of anxiety, because of stress, because you don't think you have the power. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you're in Christ, you have everything you need to do what God's asked you to do so that you're without excuse. Everything you need to live a godly life. Actually, that's my second principle today. And we're not probably going to get to it. You have everything you need for this life. Everything that God's ever asked you to do, you have the power to do it. Everything. Everything. And you know, I could just stop here and just point to everything that we ever experience. When we're hurt and disappointed, he gives you the power to forgive. Amen. You have everything you need to forgive. Amen. Everything you need. Right now, right here in Jesus. You have everything you need to let it go. You have everything you need to make it right. You have everything you need. Everything you need to make it right. We can talk about the habits of our lives that are destructive. And I can say, listen, you have everything you need to say no to that temptation. Everything. Everything. You have the power to not be angry. You have the power to not walk in unforgiveness. You have the power to not walk in lust. You have the power to not walk in greed. You have the power not to worry. To fear. You have the power to not be stressed out. You have everything you need. You are the salt of the earth. And salt has influence, and you're to be influencing, but you can't influence without letting it out. And speaking what God's asked you to speak, and touching what God's asked you to touch, and listening to what God's asked you to listen to. Listen to me, church. We have what it takes to do what God asks us to do. Amen? Will you believe that today? Will you absolutely put your faith and trust in this? Now look what he says here. He says in this next. He says, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill, it can't be hidden. Listen, you don't light a lamp and then you put it under a basket. You put it on the lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I think that's just what Peter just said. That we get to declare the excellencies. The excellencies. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let your light shine. You got to let it out. You've got to lift up the lid. For whatever reason that this world or whatever this world is doing to you or whatever people are doing to you, listen, I know that it hurts. I've walked that way. I can just be out of something just like you can. But I know he's given us the power. I know he's given us everything we need to live this life for him. When the Spirit of God came into your life, whether you were 8, 10, 25, 45, listen, he gave you the power of God to be this witness, to fulfill your purpose, to give witness. I'm afraid some of us think that giving witness is carrying around tracts and saying, hey, let me share this with you, and putting the tract under somebody's nose who don't need to see a tract. They need to see somebody living it. That's the tract. And let them ask the question. I find it really interesting in Acts that it was always the sinner who gave the invitation. What must I do? What must I have that you got? Is that right?
Yep.
Sinner gave the invitation. So moved. So moved by the word. So moved by your word. So moved by your life that says, oh, I want what you have. What must I do to get what you got? You've just witnessed. As a matter of fact, it's so freeing that you don't have to pull the track out. You can just give testimony and you can let the Spirit of God lead you to lead that individual to Christ, what he needs at the time. Because I'm going to tell you this, most of us don't need a tract. We need a word from God. I'm not saying don't use a tract. Please hear what I'm saying. I pastor said don't use that. I didn't say that. But I think sometimes we become so unintuned to what the Spirit of God's doing in our life and in that person's life that we miss the opportunity. We got to be in tune, folks. We got to let the lid out. We got to take the basket off the light and let it shine. And my Bible says he does that by doing your works that are good works. And man, I want to close with this, and it's not in your notes. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because there's such a thing in Scripture that speaks of dead works. We think we're doing good works, but they're dead. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name. Depart from me, I never knew you. What? Good works can be dead works. In the love chapter, I know at a wedding we always kind of skip over the first part, right? Or I do. But notice what it says. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I can have the gift of tongues. I can have the gift of angels. But I can also be a man that doesn't love. And he says, I'm nothing but a noisy cymbal. Brings no meaning to anybody. Matter of fact, instead of bringing people to Christ, it probably chases people away. Because they see one thing coming out of your mouth and something different coming out of your life. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. As I read this, please understand what I mean by good works. Let your light shine so they may see your good works. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Did it profit those false prophets in Matthew who did things that looked like they did them, and they probably did? And yet Jesus would say, depart from me, I never, ever, ever knew you. He didn't say, I don't know you anymore. I never knew you. Really important. And I look at this passage of 1 Corinthians 13, and what is he saying? He said, you want to walk in a good work, then you just love. That's what you do. You love. You pour it out. You pour love. You let love out. And guess what happens? You become patient. You become kind. Even when they cut you off. You'll never be jealous. You'll never brag. You'll never be arrogant. You walk in love. You won't act unbecomingly or rude. You won't seek your own. You won't be provoked. And that would be a great one. That's a great one, isn't it? Not being provoked. It can't provoke me. You know what? Being provoked or not being provoked from the flesh is an absolute total impossibility. Is that right? because all of us got provoked. We all get provoked. We got provoked this week, didn't we? Some of you got provoked by news. Some of you got provoked by political stuff this week. Come on, am I right? You got provoked. And I don't care what you say. You call it righteous anger or what. That's just a cop-out. You got provoked. You got your button pushed. You got the bell rung. You got the string, you know. He pulled your string. You got provoked, and what came out of your heart, like mouth, was what was in your heart. You just got provoked. Well, I tell you what, you walk in love, you won't get provoked. You love that person that's provoking you on that TV who you don't even know. Gee whiz. What will put a noose around for people to pull us around that we don't even know? And I say it ought not be. And I say it to your pastor first, me. Because I can get provoked, but I want to tell you, if I walk in love, the Bible says, it's not, love is not provoked. So let me just tell you something. It's just go on right now and make a decision that you're going to love that person that's provoking you on TV. But make a decision that you're not going to be provoked by your spouse, by your child, by your employer, by your boss, by the employee. You're not going to be provoked by your pastor. You're not going to be provoked by the Sunday school teacher or the elder. You're not going to be provoked. Why? Because you're going to walk in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you'll know your purpose. Because I want to tell you, it's that simple. It's to love like our God loved us. How did he love you? He loved you while you were a sinner. He loved you while you were doing your own thing. He loved you, watch this, when you were ungodly, when you were doing ungodly things in ungodly manners, in what ungodly people do, my God was loving you and loving me. And when you gave your heart to him and you gave your life to him, that's the Spirit of God came in you. Matter of fact, 1 John calls it the seed abiding in you. His seed abides in you. That's why we have everything we need. Watch this. Not to live, but to love. To love our great God. To love our neighbor. Our farthest geographically. Our farthest emotionally. And our closest. And then, we said this in new members class this morning, to walk out the new commandment. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. But you know what the new commandment is? It's new. It's to love one another as Christ loved us. That's the new commandment. I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. I'm not loving you as I love myself. What am I? I'm loving you like Jesus loved me. And that's the power of a new commandment. That's the new commandment. The great commandment and the new commandment. Yeah, we love God. We love our neighbor as ourselves. But we love one another like Christ loved us. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Purpose. Has the purpose of God become a stranger to you? Have you been so caught up in the world, so caught up in your problems, so caught up in your hurts and your wounds, that all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're not living the purpose of God, which is just to give witness to him, so that people see it and embrace you and then want what you have? Church, let your light shine. Get it off the bushel. Put it on the lampstand. Let the light of God just get all over people. If you're always in a negative attitude and you're always grumbling and complaining, what is that? I'm just telling you, that's ungodly behavior. That's just what it is. But it just seems to me that that's what this world is all about these days. It's just grumbling and complaining about everything and about everybody. And you have the power and the ability and everything you need to love, not grumble. To love and not go with that temptation. To love and not walk in greed. To love God and not worry and walk in anxiety and stress. You have the love of Christ living in you if you have Jesus. I'm going to ask the question this morning. What is it that God is asking you to do as a result of some of the words that you've read and listened to today? Is there someone to quit grumbling about? Is there someone to forgive? Is there something to give and not hoard? Is it something just to take stock in where I'm at in this season of my life and realize I'm not giving? I'm just taking. And I want to give. And I want to give my life and I want to give this love. Some of you I know are hurting and struggling today, but I want to tell you, get your eyes off the temporal and get them on Jesus and just go find somebody to love on and to live for or love on. And I'm just going to tell you, your day will change. I'm not talking about your circumstances. I'm talking about your day. It makes the difference, folks. Let your light shine. Listen, difficulty's no stranger, but I'm going to tell you, this peace and this power of God to give you the power to give witness should be no stranger to you, but should be very, very familiar. Make it so by the power of Jesus. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we go from this place letting our light shine, living our purpose, proclaiming the excellencies of Him who called us to give us our praise to the one that you created and formed for yourself. We are your possessions. We don't own ourselves. There's nothing we own in this life. You own it all. You possess us, Lord. And I'm so grateful that you're the possessor of our souls and our lives. And I ask, Lord, that we'd reflect that. We just reflect that and love like you love. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm really glad that you're here today. If you're online watching today, just grateful for that as well. My prayer for you is that you'd be filled with the Spirit of God today to go do what we talked about today. Let's go to love well, right? To live out the purpose that God has for us. If you have any questions, if you need any time, if you have questions or you're just struggling, please get a hold of somebody. Our names and our numbers are in that fold. Let's stand together. I'd love to say our closing blessing. New members, really glad that you're a part of us. It's a wonderful day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance towards you and give you peace. The absolute total shalom of God, where you're safe in Him, where you're free in Him, where you've got ease, where you've got joy, where you've got some prosperity taking place in the Lord. The shalom peace of God. May it guard your going out, your going in. And I'm going to tell you this. You can't have it unless you know the Prince of Shalom, Jesus Christ. So may the Prince of Peace rest upon you and all that you do this week. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless y'all.